A listener sent me a cartoon. It's a hand holding a pen, drawing another hand also holding a pen, which in turn is drawing the first hand. You can see it on our webpage once today's program is posted. The cartoon is an apt metaphor for how language and thought interact and shape each other. Our premises about the way the world works, our underlying worldview, is embodied in our language. Our language, in turn, shapes the possibilities we're able to imagine in the world. All European-derived languages, for instance, create a sharp distinction between subject and object, actor and acted upon. But there are languages that don't recognize that distinction, that don't permit the speaker even to conceive of other people, or of nature for that matter, as mere recipients of action. Those languages themselves both reflect and reinforce the belief that we are all equal participants in the world and in every interaction. This is hard to understand because our language and way of thinking limits us, but it has real consequences for the way we and others live. Today, on Another World is Possible, I want to try to take you inside the culture of a people who see the world differently. You've probably heard of the Zapatistas, the EZLN, the group in southern Mexico that rose up on January 1, 1994, when NAFTA, the so-called Free Trade Agreement, was to come into effect. Among other consequences, NAFTA forced the breakup of communal land ownership in Mexico, and undercut Mexican agriculture by opening that country wide to the import of GMO corn from the U.S. You may remember spokespersons wearing ski masks and calling themselves subcomandantes, because there was to be no comandante above the rest. Or you may have been struck by how the leadership included a large percentage of women. The Zapatistas have held many international gatherings to explain and promote their vision for how society should function. They continue to govern 5 autonomous regions in the state of Chiapas. One of their core constituent groups is the Toxolabales. Before telling you about the language of the Toxolabales, I'd like to tell you just a bit about them and the organizing I was privileged to be part of that led up to the Zapatistas. The Toxolabales are a Mayan group, long ago driven deep into the mountains by the Spanish conquerors. To get their produce to the market in the mid-20th century, they had to haul it for hours down steep paths, then hope to catch a bus into town. Bus companies and drivers treated them badly. To them, these were indios, a slur word in Mexican Spanish. More than once, I saw drivers deliberately swerve onto the shoulders of the road to scatter waiting Toxolabal women and ruin their produce, then drive on without stopping. Hard as it is to believe, this was a people without songs. I'm not sure I understood this. They knew what songs are, but told me that Spaniards had forbidden them. An early step in our organizing was to create songs together, simple songs, just describing the work of preparing food or in the fields, songs that brought joy, certainly to me in hearing them echo off the mountains as people worked, and brought people together. Getting their own transport to avoid the racist commercial buses was another step forward and a complex undertaking. The Toxolabales live in small, scattered villages. Coordinating the resources and coordinating the schedule required bringing the entire community together. That meant creating a decision-making structure that for the first time linked the scattered villages. What developed was a form of representative democracy. All the adults in each village met to discuss whatever the issue was, then picked a representative to take their decisions to a higher level gathering, that would make the final decision. Within the villages that I saw, men sat in a circle and did much of the talking. Women sat in a circle around them and generally, quietly, prompted the men. The representative, generally a man, was chosen for that particular issue, not as a standing official. One result was getting their own, wildly decorated, community-wide bus. That early organizing in the 1970s and 80s, with encouragement from the Liberation Theology Bishopric of Chiapas, is what enabled the joining together of a number of different communities, Tojabalales among them, that became the Zapatista movement. Before turning back to the language of the Tojolabales, here's some more of our featured artist, Buffy St. Marie.
Ooh, you better wake up. Man, it's like you're dead and gone. See you moving around the same old neighborhood. Same old thoughts in your head spin around and around, round. Oh, I know that you're a city boy, but if you got a chance to go, would you come out to a new world?
That was Buffy St. Marie with an excerpt from Chocho Fire. And you're listening to a special edition of the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO in Portland. This is a special edition because we in the Old Mole are happy to be part of kicking off KBOO's fall membership drive. It's overwhelmingly because of listener contributions that KBOO is able to stay on the air. Please go to KBOOFM/give or text the letters KBOO to 44-321 or send a check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. In turning to Tojolabal, the language, I'd like to start with a story. Language, of course, is partly based on experience. If a people hasn't encountered a particular experience, they may not have a vocabulary or even concepts that cover that experience. A good example would be the language in the treaties the U.S. government forced Native American tribes to sign, giving up their lands. If you've ever looked at any of these treaties, they're full of concepts like reserved rights that have no meaning in the native languages. People could not have understood what they were signing, however voluntary their signature seemed. When there are new experiences, something else happens with language. If there's no vocabulary to describe the experience, words can be adopted from another culture. That does not mean, however, that they have the same exact meaning from culture to culture. And here's the story. The Spanish word abogado means lawyer, referring to the same profession in Spanish as in English. For the Mayan groups in southern Mexico, however, abogado refers to their specific experience. For them, the word means someone who comes from the outside trying to trick you into doing something against your interest. The Wycliffe Bible Translators are a missionary group that specializes in translating the Christian Bible into languages that have not yet taken written form. My path crossed with theirs near the Guatemalan border. They come into communities, learn the languages, translate and proselytize. They also make those languages and the intelligence they gather about those communities available to the U.S. government. They represent cultural imperialism in many guises, including being oblivious to the resonance of vocabulary that crosses cultural boundaries. When they translated the biblical "Jesus is our advocate" from the book of John, using the word abogado, the community came to its own conclusions about what brand of religion these missionaries were pushing, and threw them out. Before you grin and think that served these missionaries right, I want to point out that in the Toholaba language, it is impossible to say something like, "We threw them out." The action of ousting the Wycliffe Bible translators is understood differently. The grammatical structure of Toholabal does not recognize a world divided into subjects and objects, acted and acted upon. Indo-European languages have built-in divisions and implicit hierarchies. Toholabal does not. Their world is interactive, non-hierarchical, democratic, and participatory. The Toholabal version, the way their language channels their understanding, would be something like, "We and the Wycliffe Bible translators created an experience in which they departed. I'm telling you this." But you cannot say it that way in Toholabal. The best way I can come up with to translate that phrase, "I'm telling you this," would be something like, "I'm speaking, you're hearing." "I love you," in Toholabal, would be something like, "You're creating an experience in which I love." It's nearly impossible to translate satisfactorily when the underlying worldview is so different. For the Toholabales, we and the world around us are all equal and all interrelated, not just human beings, but nature as well. This way of looking at the world extends to their way of being in the world. One hand holding a pen, drawing another hand also holding a pen, which in turn is drawing the first hand. Language and thought interacting and shaping each other. How do we know another, better world is possible? One way is by realizing that what we take for granted, what is built into the very structure of our language and way of thinking, is not simply obvious and common sense. There are peoples that find our premises wrong-headed and repellent. Our Western languages can express many wonderful things. They also may be holding us back. It's not only a new vocabulary that we require for the possibilities we see, but a new common sense, a new set of premises to expand those possibilities. This has been Norm Diamond for the Old Mole Variety Hour.